The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
Good morning, everyone. You know, it seems to me America has been looking for a takeaway since 1989.
That's interesting.
To figure out the implications of what happened when the Soviet Union
fell.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cold War ended. Hey, we're the only superpower in the world. What do we do now?
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, the battle to become the only superpower, and then you win, and then what?
And I think we're still asking those questions, and we may get a hint of what the answers are, at least in terms of the current administration, when Hillary Clinton delivers a speech before the Council on Foreign Relations. Secretaries of State have defined and elaborated on America's role in the world. Presidents
have done
the same. Because
they have to deliver that message to other countries and other diplomats.
But with two wars going on, Afghanistan and Iraq, combat operations ended in Iraq.
Right.
We also have, the war on terror, which seems still going strong in this administration.
When would that ever end, the question.
That is really the question, and it's posed by our next guest, Andrew Bacevich, professor of history and international relations at Boston University. He's author of the book, Washington Rules, America's Path to Permanent War. Andrew Bacevich, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
It seems to me that your premise of America on a permanent war footing has only been more validated by developments in the Obama administration over the last 2 years rather than repudiated in some sense. I heard in Barack Obama's speech announcing the end of combat operations in Iraq a kind of incremental restatement of, yes, we're going to be taking care of rogue nations around the world, including Afghanistan. Business as usual. What do you expect to hear from Hillary Clinton today?
Well, I haven't seen the text, of course, but secretaries of state typically use these occasions, speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations to recite bromides about, the United States leading the world on its journey to world peace. So I think we'll hear cliches. I'll be very surprised if we hear Secretary Clinton, who's a tremendously competent person, but I think not particularly imaginative, really get to the core issue of the moment, which I think is that the United States is badly overstretched. As you guys were chatting in your lead-in, that the notion that we are the one and only superpower, if that was ever true, really no longer conforms to reality.
Well, then what is a superpower to do in such an instance? Let's sketch out what you think America's role in the world is right now and what it ought to be.
Back in World War II, during World War II, the once famous journalist Walter Lippmann wrote a short book about U.S. foreign policy in which he said that as a general principle, probably the most important measure of success in foreign policy is what he called solvency, and that is keeping some kind of relative balance between what you're trying to do in the world and the means that you have available to do that. And I think there was a time in the 50s, in the 60s, maybe even in the 90s after the Cold War, where we could take solvency for granted. I think that's no longer the case. We are, in many respects, now insolvent. If you look at our national debt, $13 trillion now. If you look at the federal deficit, $1 trillion a year. If you look at our inability to, our ability to start wars, but our inability to end wars, I think insolvency really is the critical problem we face and need to acknowledge.
Let's focus on the ability to start wars versus the inability, as you say, to end wars. What does that mean in terms of our role in the world? Is it that we don't understand our role so we don't end the wars, or that we actually want to embrace a permanent occupation status in places like Afghanistan, Yemen perhaps next, Somalia perhaps down the line, Sudan, et cetera?
I doubt if there's anybody, certainly no serving officer, wants to engage in this kind of permanent war, permanent occupation. I think the essence of the problem is that we came to a misunderstanding of the nature of war, and we overestimated the efficacy of the American military instrument. Remember back in 2003 when we invaded Iraq, the expectation was that given American military technology, American military professionalism, that we would not only make short work of Saddam Hussein's army, but the war itself would be short. It would end decisively in victory, and that victory would then yield some type of useful political outcome. Well, none of that came to pass, and I think that Americans generally, certainly the political class in Washington, people have not yet been willing to face up to this reality, that the military power that was supposed to be our strong suit actually has turned out to be something other than that.
Well, then, Andrew Bacevich, let's go down the other path then. Barack Obama spoke during the campaign and has consistently spoken about America's diplomatic leadership in the world, developing consensuses, etc. If, as you say, we have not relinquished our military role and are overextended in that, what would it take for, in your view, the United States to take that diplomatic leadership? What message needs to be delivered to the world for us to actually assume that diplomatic role as a leader?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm in the camp that prescribes things that Washington, resists hearing. I truly believe that the best way for us to lead, to accomplish some mission relative to the rest of the world, is for us to keep faith here at home with the liberal democratic ideals that we profess to hold dear. That it is by fulfilling the aspirations expressed in our founding documents that we can make a difference, that we serve as an exemplar rather than trying to shove our values down somebody else's throat.
So let me just get this straight in the last minute before we go. So you say it's a sign of strength for us to pull out of Afghanistan precipitously and focus on making the U.S. a light for the world at home.
Pull out of Afghanistan not precipitously. I'm not arguing for isolationism. I'm not let's just pull up the drawbridges. I am arguing for reducing our commitments and rebalancing our priorities so that domestic needs get greater attention than they have of late.
Andrew Bacevich, professor of history and international relations at Boston University and author of Washington Rules, America's Path to Permanent War. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Are we on that path to permanent war? What should be the role of America in the rest of this century? Hillary Clinton is going to give us a glimpse of her view of that, but you can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. America's role in the world, what do you think it should be?